We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's... Thank God it's...
Another edition of Thank God It's Friday! We are live from the Chatsworth Concourse as part of the Sydney Comedy Festival. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome our panel. It's Kirsty Wiebeck, Jennifer Wong, and Tommy Dean!
But first, as always, here is the news from nowhere. Oh, I love the colour of your dress, I said to my friend at the party as we waited for the drinks to come around. Oh, thanks, said my friend. It's beautiful, I said. I then found myself adding, you know, there's a Laminex colour tile in exactly that shade of blue. She gave me a long, cool stare. I explained that we were halfway through a home renovation. I'm a bit obsessed, I stammered. We're putting in a new kitchen. Every evening is spent with colour charts, and there's a kitchen benchtop that we're considering that looks... She interrupted. You're saying I look like a kitchen benchtop? I blurted out a denial, but she'd had enough of me. It could have been worse, she said as she turned away. You could have compared me to the splashback. She was joking, of course, but I would have never compared her to the splashback, as the splashback is going to be a sort of yolky egg colour, quite different to the pale blue in which she was encased. A little later, I noticed one of the other women at the party. Let's call her Yolky Egg Lady. She was wearing a blouse that exactly matched the colour of our intended splashback. If I could just make them stand next to each other, I thought, I could really assess whether the whole thing is going to work. When you're renovating, everything circles around the thousands of tiny choices that must be made. Try to have a night off, go to the movies, watch a TV show, and there'll inevitably be a scene in which the murderer, having lured his victim into the kitchen, kills him in a vicious frenzy, blood flying everywhere, before using some paper towels to wipe clean the benchtops. Oh, that polished up nicely. I found myself saying to Jocasta during a recent crime show, do you think it's marble? Oh, yes, she replied. And did you see how he grabbed the knife from that magnetic holder built into the nook next to the stove? I think we should get one of those. Part of the problem is that Jocasta and I have no taste, none at all. Last time we made a decorating decision, a good decade ago, we installed curtains that consisted of a floral design of the sort that implies lace doilies, homemade jam and knickknacks, but rendered in the lipstick red of a Berlin cabaret. It made our front room look like a Berrimer brothel. Now, all these years on, I sometimes sit staring at our curtains, wondering, one, why we bought them in the first place, and two, whether Berrimer actually does have a brothel. And if it does, what's the bet it's called the oldie knocky shoppy? But I digress. The point is that Jocasta and I have no idea about good design, but we're also wary of the paint the whole thing white solution, the kitchen equivalent of being dressed by Country Road. There's nothing like quarter-strength hog's bristle to express the view that you are frightened of your own lack of taste. Back at the party, everyone was leaving. My friend Blue Benchtop was gone, and so was Yoki Splashback. The host had just removed his jacket so he could do the washing up. The jacket was light brown, perfect for some cupboard doors. The only person still up and about was the hostess, who floated towards me with an open bottle of Chardonnay and a smile. She looked stunning in a shimmering silver gown. I couldn't wait to ask where she got it. She would make the most perfect range hood. And that's the news from nowhere. Kirsty Wiebeck, Jennifer Wong, Tommy Dean.
Here is my advice. When renovating a kitchen, Do not get soft closed drawers, because most domestic arguments happen in the kitchen, and there is no way to punctuate a well-made point with a soft closed drawer. Yeah. And that's why I got the chicken.
Let's check that you're up with this week's news. Who is urging a vote for literally anybody else?
Oh, this is a fantastic story from the United States, where there is a man from Texas who would like to, well, who has actually legally changed his name to literally anybody else, so that when he runs in the election, his name will appear as an option that you can vote for. You can vote for literally anybody else.
Okay, this is a protest against Trump and Biden, right?
Yes, you would hope so. A very much needed one. So a little bit about the man. He is 35, a former US Army veteran, and currently teaches Year 7 maths. And already he is sounding so much more qualified. He is a man under the age of 40. He understands what it's like to serve one's country. He understands how to do at least Year 7 maths. He has been able to undergo the legal process of changing his name, which understands that he has a vague respect for the law. Already, this is an upstanding citizen. The question is, why isn't he already the United States president?
How many 350 million Americans aren't there? How can it come down to two people that no one likes?
That is a question for the founding fathers. And if I had a time machine, I would go back and have a hard word to them. Three parties would be better, my friends. Three parties is better than two. That would be good. This one, I'm concerned. I don't buy all of your arguments, Jennifer Wong. They're excellently made, but you don't understand how seventh grade in America works. That means he only understands fourth grade math. Just so we're clear.
Was it still better than Trump, though?
It's still better. I like the idea of it, though. This is not the first time this game is played. There was a time in the phone wars of the late 90s before cellular phones became all the rage. And when you made a collect call, you had to nominate the carrier that you wanted to pay. And a lot of people would just go, whatever. And so there were companies that had registered names like, whatever. And I don't care. So they could get your phone dollars. So this is a clever scam to be used. It would only, by the way, carry Texas anyway. It wouldn't get him elected in all the other states because the Electoral College, which is, by the way, the worst university you can put your children into.
Very easy to get into.
Easy for you to go in. Hard to get out.
What would he have to do to get elected in the other states? I don't understand how it works in America.
That's a problem. I don't really have time.
don't we have an hour?
No, not for this. I just think it shows a great initiative. I think he should be honored, but I would be more inclined to put him on the ballot, but also more inclined to let the states that wanted to keep Donald Trump off the ballot do their thing as well, and then life might be happier.
Life might work out. In what sort of building would X best mark the spot for Elon Musk? What sort of building? According to Jackie Lambie. Anyway.
Yeah, according to Jackie Lambie, it's a jail. Which I think a lot of people will probably agree upon. They've got beef at the moment. So Jackie's saying that he should be put in prison for trying to keep circulating footage of the church stabbing. She also cancelled her X account and called others to do the same. So she's pretty against it all at the moment. And Musk has called her an enemy of the people of Australia. And at the moment, he faces a daily fine of $782,000 if he defies the Australian courts.
Is that going to scare him?
No. Absolutely. I mean, that's like us dropping a 1 cent coin on the ground, isn't it? It's like, can I be bothered picking it up? No. Absolutely not. I mean, I know 1 cent coins have been out of circulation for a long time. Bad reference. But no, I don't think it's going to bother him at all. So it's calculated that he can pay the fine every day for 1,000 years and still have change. And I don't think he'll live for 1,000 years.
Whose side are you on in the Jackie Lambie, Elon Musk business, Jennifer?
This is such a difficult choice, Richard. We're choosing between on the one hand, Elon Musk, and on the other hand, Jackie Lambie. I think that maybe jail is the best place for Elon Musk, because that way he would not have access to the internet, and then we wouldn't have to hear about him anymore. So it would do us all a service. Or maybe he could be not in jail, but just be denied the internet, and then we wouldn't have to hear about him anymore.
He could be in e-jail.
That is a shock to me, by the way, to discover that there is no internet access in jail. And now I very much do not want to commit crime. That should be how we appeal to the problem of youth violence in Australia. You know there's no internet in there, right?
What?
I actually...
Like, that should be the argument. Forget telling them anything else. You know there's no internet, right? No internet, no KFC. What? What?
I'm going straight.
Okay, I should admit that I actually don't know if there's no internet in jail. So maybe I should have looked it up on the internet, because as someone who's not in jail, I have that privilege to see if that is actually factually correct. KFC, however, pretty sure you can't get that.
Pretty sure. At least
in
not
jail.
Delivered.
In jail. No, well, if you don't have the internet, it's really hard to order KFC.
It's so hard. It's so
in
hard.
Jail.
It's such a loop. I think Jackie Lambie, it's rare that I agree with her, but on this one I'm kind of with her. She is firesome about it. I like that. I just think that, again, she's reaching for low level. I think we forget that at the billionaire stratosphere, small things like jail, hardly a concern. I think what we should say is you have to ride one of your own spaceships.
On the outside.
On the outside. Yeah.
Okay, final question from this week's news. Whose album of druggy rave music is now selling like a hot potato?
This is how I know I am old. There are very few things that mark you as old, but one of the first things I encounter in this country are the Wiggles. And the Wiggles are the soundtrack of my entire life as a young father with young children. There is many options that you can choose from today, but in my day, there was the Wiggles, or there was Four Corners. And we just found that Four Corners went over their head, and it was hard to sing along to. So we had them on the Wiggles, and so I am deeply immersed in the Wiggles. To watch them morph into other Wiggles, like amoebas that became other things, that's been fun to watch. To have them then take over the Hot 100 a couple years ago and come back and win with a cover of a song, that was like a crazy, they never go away. The fact that we have the Red Wiggle on here so many times, you know, I'm on a first name basis with a Wiggle. That's weird.
Yeah, Murray, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to name him because I thought he'd be embarrassed.
What, to know you?
Well, no, I just, no. Yeah, I just suddenly felt awkward that I claimed first name basis but failed to use his first name. I'll tell you what his first name is. Red. His last name, Shirt. I just call him Red.
No, his surname is Skivvy. Skivvy.
Used to be. What? Skivvies? That sounds naughty. I would have never let the kids watch that. Get back on the Four Corners.
Yeah, so they've now...
Did you know they're making vapes illegal?
So they've now re-released all their big hits.
But now it's dance hits. It's come full round. And as I find it amazing because all my kids loved it, but at the time, man, did I hate the Wiggles. Like, I love that the kids loved them and the joy that they found, but their music drove me crazy. And I thought, there is no way this music could be worse. And I am so excited that all this time later, they proved me wrong.
It's a pretty weird combination, Kirsty, isn't it? With sort of this EDM, it's called electronic dance music. It's got a kind of druggy rave title, the Rave of Innocence.
Yeah, I think it's going to freak out a lot of 40-year-olds that have just consumed something half an hour earlier when it starts pumping through the tent. Like, whoa, what's this?
That's true. Hot potato becomes a euphemism.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. The first thing I thought when I... Actually, I had a memory. You were talking about the Red Wiggle. When I was starting out in comedy, the first time I ever got recognised by somebody in a pub, I'd only done like a couple of open mics and I felt really famous and I was really chuffed, and they were talking to me and they were like, oh, we saw you doing this gig. And I was like, yeah, I'm a comedian, and I was so giddy about it. And then about 2 minutes in, the Blue Wiggle walked in to the pub, not wearing the skivvy at the time, but these people who
made me... What, sort of naked from the belt up?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, oh, yes, obviously. I mean, that's all he's got in his wardrobe. So these people saw the blue wiggle and they dropped me like a hot potato. I was devastated. But, yeah, I can see this taking off, though. Like, people are going to love this. It's like that, you know when they did that, like the Dan Andrews song? Like when Victoria came out of lockdowns and this DJ did a mashup of like, get on the beers, it was, because that was Dan Andrews' catchphrase. And it was huge in clubs and it was just Dan Andrews going, get on the beers, get on the beers, and everyone was wild for it. So the Wiggles, if Dan Andrews can make it in the EDM scene, the Wiggles have got no problem.
What do you reckon, Jennifer?
Well, I love that as someone who has not got children and who hasn't been in a nightclub for a while and who loves efficiency, that now I can put on one album and understand two different worlds at the very same time. So that's been really nice. I wasn't very familiar with the Wiggles music, so I had a look on the internet. It's actually very catchy to listen to, but I think context
it's
is so...
It's so catchy after... By the time the child turns five, you want to tear your own head off. It's that catchy.
Every time you see a big red car, you just go straight up the boot.
But I think the context of the lyrics is so important with music. And I think I'm glad I listened to it, because if I found myself in a nightclub one day not having listened first to the Wiggles original version, the song Bouncing Balls would have come out a little bit differently if you had no knowledge, because you'd be in the club and you'd hear, it's time to get your balls out, come on everybody, bounce your balls, which is, without context, quite confronting.
Yeah. Well, he's already got his shirt off.
Yeah, that's right. But did you know they've also updated the music in other ways? Like there's a song called Fruit Salad, which now actually contains vegetables. So if you listen long enough and you wait, they will eventually drop the beat.
Oh, okay.
We are live from the Chatsworth Concourse as part of the Sydney Comedy Festival with Kirstie Wiebeck, Jennifer Wong and Tommy Dean, and our wonderful audience.
Wonderful audience.
All right. Now, a study of personality out this week suggests most people are surprisingly unlike their parents. In fact, personality traits they've found, such as being neurotic, extroverted, open, agreeable, conscientious, were only marginally more likely to be shared with a parent than with a random stranger. We're surprisingly unlike our parents. So what traits do you share with a parent, and in what ways are you totally different? Kirstie.
So when I was growing up, my sisters and I used to always bag out my mum, because if there's multiple car spaces to choose from, she can't choose one. And you'll just remain in the car park doing loops, fighting for your lives for like half an hour, just going, choose one, mum!
Oh, my God, Kirstie, we're sisters.
Yeah. I suspected.
And also, my mum is in the audience. She would love to meet you.
Mum!
Actually, she's not in the audience. She's still circling.
Yeah. Well, I do that now. So I had a go at my mum a little while on a visit a couple of years ago, and my partner was in the car and was like, you do the same thing. And I do. Like, if there's one space in the lot, no problem. Smooth sailing. But if there's more than 10, I'm panicking. I'm just going to abandon the vehicle in the middle of the car park going to Kmart.
Is it the same with sandwiches? I mean, is it the same with other things?
No, it's mostly with car parks. I don't know what it is, this panic, this fight or flight kicks in, and it's like, one day I will just abandon my vehicle in an empty car park.
Sorry, I just need to clarify this, because this makes no sense to me. You're in a car park. Let's say, for instance, it has 10 slots available for 10 cars.
Yeah.
And you've pulled in there, and there is one car parked. So there are 9 slots remaining.
Yeah.
And you're saying that paralyzes you.
You've given me anxiety just saying it like that.
Also, what a wonderful example of Year 7 maths. Or Year 4 in your case, Tommy.
He's good. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, I did make a point of pointing out there were, 90% of the slots remaining.
Oh, well, you lost me. My
point was I didn't want to show off my high school skills.
So you're saying the study's completely wrong, that you are like your mother?
Yeah. So I'm like my mother in that respect, absolutely. But I'm not like my father in that he thinks before he speaks.
Are you like your folks, Jennifer?
Oh, I am very much like my mum, not in the parking sense, but in the cleanliness devotion. My mum was a nurse for like 40 years before she retired. The first two words I ever learned to spell were personal hygiene. And I wash my hands all the time. I'm like my mum very much in that regard. And the thing that's different between me and my mum, though, is that my mum had me at 27 and had my brother a few years after, worked full-time, two kids, all that kind of thing. And I, on the other hand, am here making jokes about bouncing balls. So that's where we're a little bit different.
Which is why I'm mum's favourite daughter.
And you will be getting a lift home tonight.
Tommy, you're obviously the spitting image of your dad.
Well, we have a lot of things in common and a lot of things not in common. I think it's an interesting way. I have discovered as I get older that I am more and more like him than I'd care to admit. My dad's big move was if you came in and you interrupted him while he was watching sport on Sunday, that's American Football Day, but he was watching the football game, and you came in and said, "Dad, I've got a problem with something," he would just reach into his wallet and hand you $5. They didn't even listen to what the problem was. Like, he just assumed you were saying something like, "I need a pizza, I want to go to the shops, I owe somebody gambling money." He didn't care what the point was. Just if I give you $5, will you leave me alone? And then at first, we thought that was great. Oh, $5, that's awesome. And then later, I realized, oh, you know, he's not paying attention to me. And then so I resolved, I will give my kids $10. Just because I've adjusted for inflation. And they move a lot faster. But you can buy them off. You really can't just buy kids off. I do enjoy that part.
You should write a parenting handbook.
Well, I was thinking about that. That's another reason I was jealous. I go, oh, I don't know why I didn't write kids' books. You know, like that would have been a great way to write books. Like my first book would have been titled, "I'm Watching the Footy, Go Away." I think kids, there's too many books that are like trying to teach kids that, you know, their parents love them all the time and they've got nothing but unconditional support. And I'm like, that's not true. That is just not how adults work. And my second will be a pop-up. Like me at the chair. And boom, I'd pop up in the chair watching the footy, and then you'd pull on a little tab, and a $10 bill would come out. And then they'd turn it and be like, oh, there's no more story. Yeah, that's because you're gone. So my point is I have picked up some of his lack of empathy for children. But it is curious, like the phrasings. I know that, you know, we're trying to, you know, I swear in, you know, comedy has a lot of swearing in it, so I've gotten quite used to that. But I just noticed as I got older, my dad's greatest not swear word was sugar biscuits. And I say it all the time now around the house.
You know, like, well, if you stub your tongue.
Yeah, stub your tongue. Sugar biscuits. Oh, sugar biscuits. It's just a great word to say in terms of sugar not swearing biscuits. Swearing.
Sorry, and I just wanted to have a turn.
I love that because it's got the sh of something.
Yeah, it starts
and then
bad.
The syllables of another very bad thing. Yeah. So you've combined them both together. What a wonderful recipe.
Sugar biscuits. No, I've got a lisp. I hate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, are we ready for the hat of death? I couldn't bring the wheel. It's too heavy. But I have asked these lovely audience people to throw these random topics into this hat. Tommy Dean is going to choose a topic. Actually, I'll get Kirsty to choose the topic.
Get Kirsty to choose the topic. Yeah. I can't be trusted with the hat. With the hat of death.
Oh, no. It's like there's too many to choose from. It's like the car park all over again. Oh, barbecues.
Barbecues. Thank you for the person up there. Yes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for putting a topic on the hat of death that finally makes sense. Had a lot of crazy words over the last
week. Well, it was better than last week. Did you hear
so
last
much
week?
Better.
Last week was phlegm.
Yeah.
Oh, how did that come up?
Oh, there she is. You're working overtime, Jen.
So good. And I was thinking about it on the way down. What I love about this country especially is, you know, like fire, open fire, then leading to the cooking of protein, probably where humanity started, really. Probably. That's my guess.
Yeah.
The vegetarians would have you believe otherwise, but they're wrong. They are wrong. No, name one salad that likes to be charred. Hardly any. Hardly any. Celebrating out right here in the Chatswood Mall. Walking down here, everything being barbecued. It's just the entire walking mall is a barbecue plate. And everything is gone. They've got your classics. You got your sausage and your onion. Classic. There's an argument. I work just down at St. Leonard's. There's a Bunnings at St. Leonard's that has an underground car park. And yet, like all Bunnings, they still insist on the weekend at having a sausage sizzle with onion and packed in with cars trying to find a park. It is the greatest aroma in Sydney. Like, if you are not sure at your local footy club that your sausage and onions are smelling quite right, put six utes next to it. And building timber changes the entire atmosphere. That's fantastic. I love that everything is on skewers. Oh, man, I love skewers. We don't get a lot of skewers in America. I don't know why. Everything's like flat-packed or tossed on. Our handle of choice is the hot dog bun. That's what we hold our food with. But here, wooden sticks, so many skewers, so
many
things.
It's because you've got to prepare them by soaking them for 6 hours. New Americans can't be bothered.
It's so long. Who brines their sticks? I had some really bad thoughts there that I had to let go. I realize I'm a lot like your father. It would probably be better if I thought a bit more before I spoke. When this thing's on. Connected to the people's ears. But I love your fascination with it. There is nowhere in this country that you won't barbecue. That was my point of the Bunnings. Underground car park, normally self-contained. Nope, we're shoving one in there. We're going to get the kids together and have some sport. Barbecue and onions. Gotta have it. We're going camping. Boom. Tiny barbecue in the back. We're going to be in the mall. Boom. Giant oversized pizza oven. Pizza oven? Yeah. We want to cook pizza in the mall. Boom. Fire. There's a guy doing crepes. There's a guy with a tandoor, a mobile tandoor. What? Just barbecuing his bread and all the hair off of his arm. For $9.90. So good.
How long did you spend in Chatswood Mall?
Do you know how many? There's corn on a stick. They have taken a potato, made it look like a spring, and put it on a stick. They have got crepes, which they fold over onto a stick. A crepe on a stick. A waffle on a stick. What, a crepe? Like a waffle, I understand. It's got internal structure. The stick will hold it. But the crepe, that is a marvel of physics and Chatswood magic I do not understand. You can get dumplings. Like dumplings on a stick. Who would think to put dumplings on a stick? Pick them up with a stick. I understand that. But just like a kebab skewer of dumplings.
Could that baby answer the phone?
I was convinced it was menu log calling me back to make sure I'd ordered enough.
Are you sure you want it all on a stick?
Like, for the only joke, I always imagine, I don't know if you ever watched, I don't know if it was a TV show here, the Beverly Hillbillies, was that a TV
sure.
show?
We can all sing it for you if you'd like.
Yeah, the song. But they used to sit around, the pool table was their fancy dining room, and they would put a squirrel on the pool cue. That's how they would serve. I always remember that. And it was novel because we never thought to put things on sticks. But here, everything fired, barbecued. I love that there is a class-based lifestyle around who brings what to your barbecue. Like when I go to, if I had a barbecue in America, I would say, come to my house, I'm having a barbecue, and I would provide all of the fire-based meat. But here, you all bring your own meat, and then you have to decide if the guy who brought the fish can come back next time. What was he doing? I mean, I'll provide the sausages, but oh, did you bring a steak? Yeah, I'll make sure. How do you have it? Oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, you bought some burgers? Nice. What'd you bring? Tandoori chicken. God damn it. Now I'm going to have to scrape the grill for days to get the tandoori paste off of this thing. Anyway, my point is, it defines you. I always thought that your initials on the International Stock Exchange should not be AUS. You should be BBQ.
Thank God it's Friday. Does he die? No! He lives!
Thank God it's Friday with Richard Glover.
Richard, can I just have a little bit of trivia to share with you?
Yes.
Did you know that when the skewer was first invented and people were trying to decide whether or not to use it, there was a little bit of yes or knowing, but then finally they decided to sauté with it? I'm sorry, that wasn't worth it at all.
If you want to see more of Jennifer Wong, and I know you do, her
if
show,
it was
The Sweet...
song, it would have been great. And they wanted to sauté, sauté, sauté. They wanted to sauté, 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 sauté with it. Oh, what do they want to do? They want to sauté with it. Sauté, sauté.
You agree?
Music's having easy. I'm just saying, music's having easy.
Jennifer Show, The Sweet and Sour Hour of Power is on from May 2 to 4 at the Comedy Store. You'll have to cross over the bridge. Kirstie Wiebeck is playing the Factory Theatre Marrickville from tonight till Sunday. So go and see their shows. Now, here's another little question for you. John Cleese, we learnt this week, spends £17,000 on stem cell therapy each year in order to stay young and fit. It made me wonder what methods you are using to improve your health and are they working? Jennifer Wong.
I am very recently a fan of exercising, as someone who hasn't been active for very much of my life. And what I do is I find my motivation. You know, my motivation is mobility when I'm older. And so for a lot of people, they're like, oh, mobility for me means when I'm older, I want to be able to pick up my grandchildren, but I don't have grandchildren or children. So my thing is when I'm older, if the escalator is broken, I want to be able to walk up the stairs so that I can go to Yum Cha. So I think it's important when you start exercising to find your why, and my why is Yum Cha. So that is my main thing, is to be really focused on that, yeah.
Got to walk those stairs.
I've got to, yeah.
Kirstie?
$17,000 a lot? I mean, pounds?
13, so it's about, so you double it. So it's about $30,000, something like that, $35,000?
It's $34,000, but that might be year 10 maths, so...
What are you doing, Kirstie, to keep yourself fit?
Prayer. I'm going to the gym as well. I went to the gym about a week ago, and I was in the car prior to entering the gym, praying. I was about to go in. I was sending an email, and
praying
I had
for fewer parking spots.
Yeah,
so you could choose.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I had my foot on its side in the footwell, just hanging out, no problem. I didn't think it was an issue at all. And sent this email off, and then when I got out of the car, just boom, 5 days, could barely walk. I had a sitting injury on my foot that was not weight-bearing at the time. When I told my partner, who's a nurse, she was like, get out of my face. Horrified. But yeah, in theory, going to the gym, I'd like to be mobile. I'd like to be able to walk on my right foot. So little goals, baby
steps.
So
how did you injure it? Did you work it out?
No, I never worked it out. It was just on its side, and then I just left the vehicle. Like, this is just life after 40.
How's it living with a nurse? Does she give you health advice?
Absolutely not. Like, anyone who's got anything to do with a nurse would know that nurses have no sympathy to begin with, because they've seen it all at work during the day, and, yeah, they've got no tolerance for any kind of whinging or anything. And once they've clocked off, like, you can cut your hand off slicing onions and she'll be like, mate, I was at work for 12 hours today. Absolutely not. Get a tea towel, tourniquet it off, and I'll see you at 8 a.m.
How are you keeping yourself fit, Tommy?
I'm not. I am buying into the future. We are at a point in this world, and I'll tell you what changed my mind, was I did not realize until I started working at the Royal North Shore Hospital how far along we have come with mobility scooter technology.
Can it go upstairs?
It is. They are unbelievable. Like, they have got it all at the top range. It's like a house. Like they've got up, down, they do have like for small steps, not like an entire staircase, but for small steps, they have these special wheels on some of them that will drop down and walk you up small steps.
Wow.
They've got
lifters. Could they get to the Yum-Cha?
They've got lifters that'll bring you right up to the level of the sushi train.
My second motivator.
Yep. And then right back down, various speeds. I saw one with the screens. So you're always at the drive-in. If you just want to park and watch a movie, it is everything about it is just exciting. I recently have discovered that I have a vitamin D deficiency, and I'm glad. I'm hoping it brings on my referral to the mobility scooter shop faster. Because then I'll get one of those stickers that I can put on my car. Yeah. And then there will always be one spot for me to choose from. I won't even have to make a choice anymore. I get the one at the front. Boom! Giant van with hydraulics. Oh, man. People get out of your way.
Yeah.
I could probably do, Uber drives on the side. get a sidecar.
Yeah.
And I make a few bucks when I'm on the way to town.
Yeah.
Oh, everything about it is good.
You've got a scooter, though, Kirsty, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean a Vespa.
Yeah.
Like a different kind.
Yeah, I know, but that's... I've seen pictures of you on your Vespa. You look very cool on that Vespa.
I think you took both photos, actually, Richard, rustling away on the side of the highway. Yeah, they're great. They're awesome. Why don't you get one of those, Tommy? You could get a Vespa and not wait until you qualify for a
mobility
scooter.
No, I'm not talking about just, cycling through traffic. I'm talking about... non-stop wheelie action.
That's fair enough, because I do have to stop on the Vespa.
All the things about it seem neat. I mean, I don't want to make fun. Some people, have access. But, the whole world is becoming more accessible. I live in a two-story house, and I have been arguing with my wife for years, even without any hint of a mobility concern, that I want one of those chairs that you sit on at the bottom of your stairs and get escorted slowly but elegantly to the top. If nothing else, I just think it's a great way to get the door. Be upstairs doing some work, and there's a knock at the door, and you're like, oh, I'll get that. I'll be there in a moment.
What about the Jason recliner, a great Australian invention, which helps you stand up? It's a chair.
Yes!
Pole. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I am talking about. Everything does it for you. Massage beds. The only thing I need, the thing to get me upstairs, then I want, in the airport, they have those very short travelators, like sidewalks that move.
Yeah.
I want one of those in my hallway upstairs to go from my top of my stairs to my bed. And then in a full, walk-in shower, I have that already. So there's no lips or anything to worry about. That's very exciting. And all I need to install is between me and the sink is some sort of Dyson supercharged body dryer.
Well, that's going to be good, isn't it?
My goal is basically to never threaten the strength of any of my joints ever again. Yeah. Which are the weakness of the human body.
Yeah, you know
that.
Yeah,
knees,
yeah.
Elbows, yeah. Shoulders, that's where it all goes to hell.
Yeah, people use them too much.
Too much?
Too much. I met this guy the other day who has bad knees like me, and he went to his surgeon. And the guy was obviously very English or Anglo guy, because he said, the trouble is you're using it. This guy was still going on fun runs, you know. He said, you're using them too much. He says, this doctor says, the Australian male is designed to walk from Sydney to the Houses of Parliament in London, and you, sir, are just walking past Harrods. He's using them too much. He's got to slow down. He's got to get the mobility scooter.
It's the same. A friend of mine does a great story about this, but, he worked out that his knees and the men realize that we wasted too much of it bending down to pick up children. We're too soft on them. That's my point.
Yeah.
If I'd have rolled over them a couple times with my mobility scooter, they'd know to get out of the way. They'd move faster. They know that danger comes from all angles.
You'd mow them down and give them $10.
Well, that's why you'd be slowly paying them off for that.
Yeah. And send them to your partner for some nursing. Kirsty Wiebeck, Jennifer Wong and Tommy Dean are here. The first person has been charged under the new post and boast laws, in which there are extra penalties if you commit a crime and then boast about it online. Since we now seem to like crimes that rhyme, What other rhyming crimes should be legislated? Jennifer Wong.
Well, I think that if you steal a bunch of Far Side comic books, you should be charged with Gary Larson arson.
Only if you burn them later.
Sorry?
If you burn them later.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Barbecue them.
They would smell funny. If you...
Oh, come on, she's on fire.
Oh, thank you for not skewering me too much. If you sell gemstones but you also secretly sell weapons, you should be charged as a charms healer arms dealer. If you are an actor and you're found guilty of spying, you should be charged with thespionage. I'm sorry, there's more. If you cut the line at a Whole Foods store, you are a cashew butter queue cutter. If you impersonate a German supermodel, you've committed a crime called Fraudia Schiffer. And finally, if
oh, thank God!
It's Friday! And finally, if it is winter and you are the asthmatic star of the Hollywood movie Taken and you overthrow the government for inexplicably making fun of you, that is a crime called Weezin' Liam Neeson in a freezin' breezin' season commits treason for being teasin' for no reason.
Sorry, I'm just seeing if I've got $10.
Thanks, Dad.
Kirsty, we seem to love these crimes that rhyme.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can't believe you're making me follow Jen, because I did not put that much thought into it.
Kirsty, or just desperation and a lot of time?
you love a bit of wordplay. Well, I came up with the same one, actually, like the Liam Neeson one. I had the exact same thing.
It's very topical. That movie just came out.
Yes. I feel so embarrassed saying this now. I came up with the Robin Lob. If you steal something and throw it into the bushes, that's a crime. And that would have been good if I'd gone before Jen.
I think that is a crime, because if you're going to steal something, at least keep it. I mean, I've had this same experience. People stole all my Elvis records and then threw them away.
Yeah, thanks, Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy, rhyming crimes.
Well, I focused on this a little bit differently, because I felt under the post and boast part of the question, it feels like our criminals today don't know how crime works. In my day, when you did something illegal, you kept it to yourself. You maybe told one of the co-people, your co-conspirators, but the whole idea of the French underground was the underground part. That was important. So I kind of took that this at the idea that all crimes now suddenly wanted to post and boast.
Feed
so,
the algorithm.
You know, I was worried about people who were now going to be all, you know, jaywalk and squawk. Set the tone, give you an idea how I'm working here.
Similarly to
yeah,
me.
Like they, maybe you want to do a little bit of, you know, illegal breach in speech. Maybe you some kidnapping and yapping. Some sodomize and verbalize. Some steal and squeal. Some stalk and talk. My favorite one, do some of that bigamy ventriloquy.
Winners and losers of the week. Just quickly, who are the winners and losers? Kirsty.
Winner's got to be Arj Barker. No amount of money can buy that amount of press coverage.
Loser?
I'm going to go with Milan, like it's in the city, because they're trying to ban eating ice cream after midnight.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Too much noise.
Yeah, too much noise.
How much are they slurping? Jennifer Wong, who are the winners and losers?
The losers are the Moulin Rouge in Paris, who've lost the windmills to their famous red cabaret building. It's come as a huge shock. Parisians up in arms, the dancers up in legs. But fear not, the windmills will be back on the building very soon, thanks to the Moulin Rouge's can-can-do attitude.
Yay! 10 seconds, Tommy.
The loser continues to be America, as we cannot figure out which trial Donald Trump we are talking about at any given time. And the winner is this audience, because I couldn't figure out a crime to rhyme with interferes with a corpse.
Well, thank God for that. Please thank Kirstie Weebeck, Jennifer Wong, and Tommy Dean. Thanks for being part of Thank God It's Friday. Next week we're back in Ultimo. Tommy, Beck Melrose, and Gary Eck. Until then, I'm Richard Glover, and thank God it's Friday!